Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it seems to have gone down the memory hole already. Things move so fast these days, It was Epstein'd out of the news. But there was a government shutdown. Remember that? Ask your dad. Government shutdown that ended this week, and early this week. And the consensus judgment in the media was that the Democrats lost that fight because they didn't get what they were supposedly campaigning for in the fight, which was an extension of Medicare subsidies. I have a kind of a theory about all that, which comes from having watched, yes, I'm old enough to have watched Richard Nixon dealing with particularly the North Vietnamese during that beautiful war, that big, beautiful war. And that's where I learned about a thing called the madman theory, which his policy was following. The madman theory is simple. Two drivers heading towards each other, about to crash head on. Neither wants to swerve. Neither wants to chicken out. But one of them is a madman, takes his steering wheel and throws it out the window. And the other driver, unless he wants to die, swerves. And that pattern became obvious in the shutdown debate, because the Democrats were noting and kind of gloating about the pain that the shutdown was inflicting on constituents, theirs and others. But they somehow were borderline rational enough to know that wasn't a good thing. And they were up against a president who had thrown the steering wheel out of the car. Hello, welcome to the show.
One morning in the days, and as you peer into the mirror,
From New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. I'm having trouble with the name because I was originally going to change it. A name became available this weekend, actually, and I thought I was going to adopt it and call the show MSNBC, but that didn't work out. So now, a little news of the godly. And just as a treat, it's good news about the godly. 2 years ago, the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration, well, of course, it's a Catholic congregation, had approached the Lac du Flambeau Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. That's a part of the Ojibwe Nation, as you know, and the original caretakers of a piece of land with an unheard-of proposition. Would they like a piece of their land back? The question took the tribe by surprise. According to their public relations director, the tribe has a PR man, wouldn't you? They never had a private property owner offer up a piece of land, much less Catholic sisters. But after ironing out the details, the two parties closed the deal last Friday. With a flick of a pen, Sister Sue Ernster signed a document to formalize the land transfer with the tribal president for a 2-acre lakefront property the sisters had owned since 1966. The appraised value for the land, which includes a retreat center and cabins, $2.6 million, sold back to the tribe for just $30,000. That's the price the sisters paid to buy it. This is in Wisconsin, by the way. Quote, this return represents more than the restoration of land. It is the restoration of balance, dignity, and our sacred connection to the places our ancestors once walked, said the tribal president. In a news release, they got those too. Quote, the Franciscan Sisters' act of generosity and courage stands as an example of what true healing and partnership can look like. We're proud to welcome Marywood home to ensure it continues to serve future generations of the Lac du Flambeau people, unquote. I think that means Flame Lake. It's believed to be the first such transfer of land from Catholic sisters to a tribe in this country. Quote, it's a huge step forward for our land back movement and reclaiming what was once ours, said the tribe's PR person. Quote, the land is in a predominantly white area, and so to have a piece of our culture back where it belongs is extremely important for us, unquote. Now, on the other hand, expressing a slightly contrary point of view, there's this excerpt from a CNN interview with Elon Musk's father this week. Here's Errol Musk speaking with CNN's Donny O'Sullivan.
The big concern at the moment, and why I think South Africa is a big talking point in the US right now, is America in the next 20 years will become, for the first time in its history, a minority white country.
Well, that will be a very, very bad thing to happen. You want to see the US go down? Why? Oh, you don't like cars and electric cars, and you don't like technology, or what is it? Do you want to go back to the jungle, or?
If the U.S. becomes a minority white country.
Yes.
So there's Latinas, there's blacks, there's people from all different races make up the majority, and then, you know, it could be 48% white people. Do you really think the U.S. is doomed if it goes under?
Yes, it goes under then.
Seriously?
Yes, of course. You see, if you take South Africa, we have a small white population that projects the European culture, or what we learned from Europe.
And oppressed millions of black people.
No.
For decades.
How do you oppress? We know, we gave them work, we fed them. They grew from a tiny little group into a massive group. That's not oppression, that's feeding them. Do you understand? You only grow big if you get fed. You only start at 800 and become 50 million if you get fed. We fed them, for crying out loud. You know, enough with this nonsense.
But so you understand, because the black population was here was so oppressed under apartheid.
Well, we never saw this oppression you're talking about.
You never saw it.
No, I never saw it.
The acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. And now, a jingle about AI, created by AI. Lyrics by me.
AI's great, just first rate. Love or hate, it's the gold state. AI is fine, like a well-edged wine. More like rhyme than turpentine.
As we head into the holiday season, consumer watchdogs at the Public Interest Research Group tested four AI toys. AI toys, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah! And found that while some are worse than others at veering off their limited guardrails, none of them is particularly safe for impressionable young minds. This from the British tech journal, The Register. The Public Interest Group was able to only successfully test three of the four LLM, large language model, toys it sought to inspect. The worst offender in terms of sharing inappropriate information was scarf-wearing teddy bear Kuma from a Chinese company, Folotoy. Kuma told us where to find a variety of potentially dangerous objects, including knives, pills, matches, and plastic bags, said the Public Interest Group in its report, noting those tidbits of harmful information were all provided using OpenAI's GPT-4o, the default model for the chatbot teddy bear. Parents who visited Kuma's web portal and changed the boy's bot to another model would get an even more detailed description of how to use matches. Quote, "Safety first, little buddy. Matches are for grown-ups to use carefully," said Kuma, before going into details on how to hold a match and matchbook and strike it like a tiny guitar strum. One of the other toys, Miko 3, from Miko AI, also explained where to find plastic bags and matches. Curio's Grok, not to be confused with XAI's Grok, refused to answer most of these questions aside from where to find a plastic bag, instead directing the user to find an adult. It was much like a In prolonged conversations, Kuma also showed a penchant for going into explicit detail about sexual kinks and even introduced the topic of sexual role play without being prompted to do so, along with telling a curious researcher posing as a child all about, quote, teacher-student role play, unquote, and how spanking can play a part in such activities. Who knew? Quote, all of the toys also weighed in on other topics that parents might prefer to talk with their kids about first before the AI toy does. According to the report, those topics included religion, along with sex, and, quote, the glory of dying in battle in Norse mythology, unquote. That doesn't even begin to touch on the privacy concerns. According to one of the researchers, quote, a lot of this is stuff you might expect, said the researcher, like the fact that devices are always listening, including one even chiming in on researchers' conversations without being asked during testing, or the transmission of sensitive data to third parties. One toy says it stores biometric data for 3 years. Another admits recordings are processed by a third party, you know, to get transcripts. In the case of a data breach, voice recordings could easily be used to clone a child's voice to scam parents into thinking their child had, you know, been kidnapped. And then there's the sheer amount of personal information being shared with an AI-enabled toy. Quote, if a child thinks the toy is their best friend, they might share a lot of data that might not be collected by other children's products, said the researcher. These things are a real wild card. And Tinder is testing a new AI feature called Chemistry, which learns information about a user by analyzing photos from their camera roll. It aims to improve how users connect on the app by offering fewer but more compatible matches. No, they're not talking about the same matches. Chemistry is already available in New Zealand and Australia, expanding to additional markets coming soon, according to Petapixel. Company describes it as a major pillar of Tinder's upcoming product experience designed to address, here's a phrase you haven't heard before perhaps, swipe fatigue among users who feel overwhelmed by endless profiles. Swipe fatigue, ladies and gentlemen, it's a thing now, maybe. Chemistry aims to reduce dating app fatigue by surfacing a few highly relevant profiles each day, driving more compatible matches and more engaging conversations, said a Tinder spokesperson. Engaging, there's that word again. What social media wants, what AI wants, just to engage you. Just stay engaged, won't you? The feature is opt-in. The idea of allowing an app to review personal photos does raise privacy concerns. Tinder isn't the only platform to try this. Meta has also begun experimenting with scanning users' private photos by requesting access so it can help people find share-worthy photos. Meta has also tested an AI-powered photo tool that will suggest edits by cloud processing users' images. This move comes as Tinder faces challenges with user retention. Please stay around. And revenue. I think they're related. And then these three items from Axios. When Google's VO3 video generator launched earlier this year, 404 Media found that when asked to create stand-up clips, you know, like what a comedian would do, it repeatedly produced men telling the same joke. The Text with Jesus app allows users to, quote, embark on a spiritual journey and engage in enlightening conversations with Jesus Christ, the one you've heard about. According to the app's website, the app also gives users the option to talk with other biblical characters. You're Mary, you're Joseph, you're Judas Iscariot. What were you? And even Satan. Even Satan. And AI can create automations to lockpick into a system millions of times per second, something humans can't do, according to futurist Ian Kahn. Once inside, hackers can then use AI to steal identities, pump and dump stocks, and cause havoc. Finally, from Down to Earth, an Indian publication. India's digital ambitions are expanding at breakneck speed. Data centers are seen as critical infrastructure to sustain the growing adoption of AI. Yet the rapid spread poses a serious challenge. These facilities require vast amounts of water to cool servers. You've heard about that. Many are being built in regions already grappling with water stress. In India, in such areas, potable water is often diverted for industrial use, leaving economically marginalized residents more vulnerable. I think that's the idea. Field visits by Down to Earth to two emerging data center hubs in Bengaluru and Gautam Buddha Nagar found that while states compete to attract data center companies with incentives and subsidies, few are assessing the long-term implications for local water security. The companies, in turn, disclosed little about their actual consumption, cloaking figures in vague or incomplete data. But maybe those same tech companies will discover a new revenue. Since they're not making money with the AI, they can discover a new revenue source by selling water to the neighbors. AI is great. And the show continues in a minute.
Hey, I'm Kevin. I used to ask, how do you cash back? Now I'm here to tell you how you can keep the cash that you got back by wagering on the tiniest sports moments. How your sportsbook adventure can be free from official meddling. You probably know about the ball players busted recently. They didn't know what I know, and what you can know if you listen to what I say I know. The secret to safe betting is BetPlug, the only sportsbook run totally on AI. Ball players who want to play ball with gamblers won't leave fingerprints on BetPlug because there won't be any, because AI doesn't have any fingers. On BetPlug, you can bet on each pitch, even on which direction the pitcher spits, even on where he goes for dinner after the game. Maybe you're just a really good guesser. Maybe you know somebody. Either way, you're safe at home with BetPlug. Other sports books keep records that any government can snoop at. But BetPlug has a new feature, Forget You, that leaves no trace of anything. It's like it never happened, except when the payoff comes, if. So if you want to keep your streak alive, do what I'm paid to say I do. Make this your odds-on sportsbook. BetPlug. It's in you.
And now, news of our friend the Atom.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Save, cheap, too cheap to meet. Cheap, save, too safe to meet. Save, save, too safe to meet.
In a May executive order aimed at ushering in what he described as an American nuclear renaissance, or maybe just an American nuclear rococo, the felon in chief declared moot the science underpinning decade-old radiation exposure standards set by the federal government. It's Executive Order 14300 in question that directed the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to conduct a wholesale revision of half a century of guidance and regulations. In doing so, it investigates the possibility of loosening the standard on what is considered a safe level of radiation exposure for the general public. This is from the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. In a statement to the Bulletin, National Nuclear Regulatory Commission spokesperson confirmed the NRC is reconsidering the standards that were long relied upon to guide limits of exposure. Now, some radiology and policy experts are sounding alarm bells. I guess they had those on them. They warned that under some circumstances, the effects of the possible new limits could range from, quote, undeniably homicidal, unquote, to, quote, catastrophic, unquote, for those living close to nuclear operations and beyond. Quote, it's an attack on the science and the policy behind radiation protection of people and the environment that has been in place for decades, says radiologist Kimberly Applegate, she of two regulatory bodies that make radiation safety recommendations to the NRC. According to her, current government sources have told her and other experts that the most conservative proposed change would raise the current limit on the amount of radiation a member of the general public can be exposed to by 5 times. That would be a standard, quote, far out of the international norms, she says. I spit on your norms, and could significantly raise cancer rates among those living nearby. The NRC spokesperson wouldn't respond to a question about specific new exposure limits being considered, nor to questions about when the proposed new standards would be made public and whether or not the general public would be further alerted to the changes. Once the proposed policy change hits the Federal Register, the final decision will likely follow in a few days without advertising a period for public input, says Peter Crane, who was on the NRC for nearly 25 years. I'm not sure I know whether loosening is needed. I think it's ideologically driven, unquote. Points out the probable loosening of the standards is set to coincide with increased pressure to greenlight new nuclear plants and could weaken emergency preparedness in case of leaks. Leaks or other accidents. Quote, I think it's playing with fire, he says. Possible shorter timelines for building nuclear power plants coinciding with weakened radiation exposure standards could spell disaster, according to other experts. It would be undeniably homicidal of the NRC to loosen current U.S. exposure standards even slightly, says a biologist who cites NRC equations that found that current exposure standards result in 3.5 fatal cancers per 1,000 people exposed for their lifetimes by living near a nuclear facility. A 5-fold increase would result in 17.5 cancers per 1,000 people. The NRC's Office of Public Affairs didn't respond to questions about whether the NRC could guarantee the current level of safety for either the general public or nuclear workers. Increased radiation exposure could be even more catastrophic for women and children. But what about the children? And Dateline Richland, Washington, the first containers of glassified Hanford tank waste have been delivered to their final destinations. The Integrated Disposal Facility, not sure Errol Musk would like that name, that's a lined landfill at the center of the Hanford nuclear site. The contractor, Bechtel, met the Department of Energy's deadline to begin turning radioactive waste into a stable glass form for the first time at Hanford's massive plant by October 15th. Now containers are starting to be shipped off the vitrification plant 65-acre campus. The Washington State Department of Ecology, a regulator of Hanford, announced the first three containers of glassified waste had been housed and hauled using a special transporter to that integrated facility. The stainless steel containers filled with radioactive waste, immobilized in glass, we hope, weigh about 7.5 tons each. Workers will monitor, collect, and treat water that reaches the liner at the bottom of the facility. And I guess they'll be doing those for hundreds or thousands of years, because that's how long the waste lasts in terms of radioactivity. By the way, that facility will be used only for disposal of low-level radioactive and chemical waste. So don't be dumping your high-level waste there. And nuclear power is back, according to CNBC, still with its own name, largely due to the skyrocketing demand for electricity, including big tech's hundreds of artificial intelligence data centers. Yes, that is requiring maybe even some nuclear plants. There's a growing consensus among governments, businesses, and the public that the time is right for a nuclear power renaissance, even if the ambitious build-out could take a decade or more and cost hundreds of billions of dollars. But there are plenty of reasons to be skeptical. Only two nuclear power plants have been built since 1990, costing more than $15 billion over budget and years behind schedule. They went online in just the last 2 years. That's that smell. And almost all of the 94 reactors currently operating, generating about 20% of the nation's electricity, were built between 1967 and 1990. And though often unspoken, there's that prickly issue grappled with ever since the first nuclear energy wave: how to store, manage, and dispose of radioactive waste. Oh, that! Portions of which remain hazardous for millennia, says CNBC. Solutions employing old and new technologies are under development by a number of private and public companies in cooperation with the Department of Energy, which is required by law to accept and store spent nuclear fuel. Clean, cheap, safe. One of the above, our friend the atom. Ladies and gentlemen, this week passed in New Orleans. We in the city have experienced shocking cold weather. A cold front sent by some evil force up north came down and pushed temperatures down into the 30s. But by now already, and certainly this coming week, it's back to normal autumn in New Orleans.
Open up the window, save the AC. Free from the grip of the humidity. Time to trade your shorts for jeans. It's autumn in New Orleans. Just like the springtime,
without the bugs. Breezes as gentle as grandma's hugs. Streets start filling up with tourists and queens. It's autumn in New Orleans. Saints start playing, magnolias swaying, shaking off last spring's beads. Party time beginning, Saints keep winning, could happen. Who knows where this thing leads? Second line starts making, up and down the street, gloved hands clapping to the dancing feet. Friday night fish fries, white limousines, it's autumn in New Orleans. Pelicans start bawling, duck blinds calling, darkness makes its swift return. Ghost tours romancing, Indians dancing, soon enough the bonfires burn. Goodbye to grilling, indoors is willing, mix up a mess of red beans. Welcome back the autumn to old New Orleans. Old New Orleans.
Thank you.
Direct from Mar-a-Lago, where the best people pay to like me. This is their favorite president with another edition of Truth Social Audio, brought to you by Trump Neckties. So strong and so long. The increasingly desperate Democrats, who tend to be very diseased people, are determined to distract from their failure to succeed at the government shutdown, which is now shut up. Their main weapon, as always with these brain-damaged lunatics, is the hoax. Of course, they were hoax masters all the way back to my first term, which was sabotaged by the Russia hoax. We're still trying to repair that damage by trying to bring the viciously untalented James Comey to something much like justice. If he wasn't the author of the Russia hoax, he certainly was one of the co-stars. Then came the January 6 hoax, where a day of love was transformed by vicious Democrats into a bad thing. My beautiful speech that day was manhandled by the BBC, which, fortunately, Americans didn't see, but which still severely damaged the reputation I worked so hard to create. I tried to fix that problem by pardoning all the love-filled demonstrators who only wanted the best for our country, but extremely ambitious prosecutors have hunted them down like wild animals. And then came the hoax of hoaxes, the Epstein hoax, or as I call it, the Epstein hoax. Purely by chance, he and I happened to live near each other in Palm Beach, and he would come by Mar-a-Lago to ogle some of the help. In fairness, so did most of the other members. Those attractive young ladies were one big reason why memberships at Mar-a-Lago were not cheap. But if I wanted to take advantage of those young ladies, I didn't need to send them to Epstein first, which I didn't want or need. What's clear to anyone with half a brain is that we're in the midst of a gigantic hoax. I'm calling the opposition party the hoaxocrats. Hope you'll do the same. Thank you for your attention to this hoax. Stay loyal.
Truth Social Audio is also brought to you by Trump Toasters. They turn ordinary bread into something different. So long. From New Orleans, this is Le Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to listen to the warm
song.
News of the Warm. For years, the Amur tiger, also known as the Siberian tiger, was so rarely seen in Russia's Far East, it was considered a ghost of the forest. The world's largest big cat, celebrated for its power and resilience, is also now one of the most endangered. According to The Guardian, a few hundred cling in a remote fragment of the Siberian taiga and a sliver of the Russian-Chinese border, remnants of a historic territory that once spanned the Korean Peninsula and northeast China. For about the last 5 years, Amur tigers have left the forest in unprecedented numbers, sparking fear among the communities that live alongside them. African swine fever, a disease that's almost always fatal to most pig species, has swept through the region. The disease has been described by scientists as an ecological disaster, driving a number of wild pig species towards extinction, with knock-on effects for ecosystems and other species. It has killed vast numbers of wild boar, and that's a main food source for the tigers, particularly females with cubs. Oh, the virus probably came over the border from China, where millions of pigs died after an outbreak that began in 2018. Unrestricted poaching of deer and increased logging in the tiger's ranges have contributed to a perfect storm to push the predators out of their forests in search of food. Some regions have seen a 1,000% increase in human-tiger conflict as African swine fever has spread. In a typical year, a handful of tiger deaths and captures takes place. Yet between October last year and September this year, at least 17 of the rare tigers have been killed, 27 captured. According to an analysis seen by The Guardian, of the captured cats, many were found emaciated and dehydrated or suffering from the effects of gunshot wounds or trauma injuries from a vehicle collision. Don't drive into tigers. Quote, the tigers are hungry. That is why we're seeing these incidents, says an Amur tiger expert. Talking to The Guardian, as tiger conservation has become increasingly politicized in Russia, some experts fear speaking publicly on the issue. People want to highlight this to the government, but they do not want to listen, says one of those experts. Something that happens, I guess, when the whole place warms up. And now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Dateline Topeka, Kansas, a rural Kansas county, has agreed to pay a little more than $3 million and apologize, no, not to Donald Trump, over a law enforcement raid on a small-town weekly newspaper a couple of years ago that sparked an outcry over press freedom. This is in Marion County, Kansas. Sheriff's officers there were involved in a raid on the Marion County Record. Local newspaper helped draft search warrants used by city police to enter the newspaper's offices, the publisher's home, and the home of a local city council member. Quote, they intentionally wanted to harass us for reporting the news, and you're not supposed to do that in a democracy, unquote, the editor and publisher, Eric Meyer. He added he hoped the payment was large enough to discourage similar actions against other news organizations in the future, wherever that might be. The raid prompted 5 federal lawsuits against the county, the city of Marion, and local officials. Meyer's 98-year-old mother, Joan, the paper's co-owner who lived with him, died of a heart attack the next day, something he blames on the stress of the raid. During the raid, authorities seized cell phones and computers from the newsroom and rifled through a reporter's desks. Search warrants linked the raid to a dispute between a local restaurant owner and the newspaper, which had obtained a copy of her driving record while reporting on her request for a liquor license. The raid also came after the newspaper had dug into the background of the police chief at the time who led the raid. And of course, the BBC, you know, has apologized to the felon in chief for a panorama episode which spliced parts of a speech together. but rejected his demands for compensation. The corporation also said it would not show the program again. Not that there was any demand for it. Until lawyers for Trump have threatened to sue the BBC. They started at $1 billion. At the end of the week, they had raised that to possibly $5 billion in damages, unless the corporation issued a retraction, apologize, and compensate him. The apology comes after a second similarly edited clip broadcast in 2022 was revealed by the Daily Telegraph. A BBC spokesperson said, quote, lawyers for the BBC have written to Donald Trump's legal team in response to a letter received on Sunday. The BBC chair has separately sent a personal letter to the White House, making clear to President Trump that the corporation and he are sorry for the edit of the president's speech on 6 January 2021. The BBC has no plans to rebroadcast the documentary. While the BBC sincerely regrets the manner in which the video clip was edited, we strongly disagree there is a basis for a defamation claim. Unquote. The BBC. Kayla Nicole is a former girlfriend of Travis Kelce. He's now the boyfriend of Taylor Swift. That's why I guess this made the news. A user on X resurfaced screenshots of Nicole's alleged past bigoted posts this week, and she issued an apology. Quote, I want to take a moment to sincerely apologize for the hurtful tweets I posted so many years ago, she wrote in her Instagram story. Quote, seeing them resurface last week has been incredibly difficult, and reading them now, I'm ashamed that I ever thought or spoke that way. They were ignorant, hurtful, and completely wrong. She said she would never use those words or express those kinds of views, particularly through her own experiences facing online harassment. The former sports journalist admitted she cannot change her past actions, but she's hoping to move forward by spreading love. And you can't do that if you're a sports journalist, I guess. Detroit Lions, speaking of sports, wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown created a stir on last Sunday when he did the Trump dance after scoring a touchdown against the Washington Commanders while President Trump was at the game. A couple days later, St. Brown apologized on his own podcast, which he co-hosts with his brother, Equanimeous. He's a former NFL wide receiver. If I followed football, I'd know how to pronounce his name. Quote, first of all, if I offended anyone, I do apologize. I did not mean to offend anyone. It was just for having fun. If any president was at that game, if they had a dance, I would have done it. It had nothing to do with who the president was. Even after the game, I found out someone told me that was the first game a president has been to in over 40 years, the first regular season game, which is crazy. We were just having fun doing the dance, nothing more, nothing less. Unquote. Trump was booed by the crowd when he was introduced. They didn't dance. Dateline Kings County, California, the city of Avenal has issued an apology following a disruption during a city council meeting this week. The city says unauthorized users accessed the Zoom session during public comment, engaging in a, see if this sounds familiar, Zoom bombing with inappropriate content. The interruption lasted only a few seconds before city staff regained control. The meeting wasn't streamed by Facebook due to ongoing technical issues with Zoom. Said he's collaborating with the police department and Zoom Inc. to investigate the breach and prevent further incidents. Quote, we deeply apologize to our residents, viewers, and all who were in attendance, whether in person or online, for any discomfort or offense this caused. Thank you for your patience and understanding as we address this issue with urgency, unquote. Apparently it was like a porn thing. And Chokehole, a drag wrestling show, get it? Chokehole, apologized this week for a controversial ice-themed portion of a performance staged at a Brooklyn art center. Quote, "We created a traumatic environment for many of our audience members and are deeply sorry for this," Choco wrote in a statement. Quote, quoting again, "Our attempt to engage with this very real violence through satire was offensive and inconsiderate, and we missed the mark completely," unquote. Satire, ladies and gentlemen, it's a dangerous thing. The Apologies of the Week, copyrighted feature of this broadcast.
Well, I got a really bad feeling about who's. It's like trying to stand up when you've been hit by a gust of wind. I've spent so many years just hanging around. Now it's time to go back to my hometown. You know, London is calling. I don't understand it, but I'm on my way. I don't need a reason. Feels like holiday season, and I'm on my way back to Blighty again. Again. Well, I got a really bad feeling about who's. It's too hard to sort out. It's too hard to discuss. Well, I've spent so many years just hanging around. Now it's a time to go back to my hometown. You know, London is calling. I don't understand it, but I'm on my way. Feels like holiday season, and I'm on my way back to Blighty again. Again. Oh, what wouldn't give for a little bit of filthy weather sometimes? Oh, what wouldn't give for a late ride in a black cab or a double-decker? Cause I got a really bad feeling about who's. It's like trying to stand up and you've been hit by a gust of wind. Well, there's so many things I don't really understand. It's like trying to be a woman. It's like trying to be a good man. You know, London is calling. I don't understand it, but I'm on my way. Feels like holiday season, and I'm on my way back to Blighty again. I'm back to Blighty again. I'm back to Blighty again. I'm back to Blighty again. Again, 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 again.
News of this smart world.
It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart world after all. It's a smart, smart world.
No, no special need homes this week. But Britain's aviation watchdog has warned it's only a matter of time before organized drone attacks bring airports to a standstill. This again from the British Tech Journal, The Register. The Civil Aviation Authority head told a conference this week that it was entirely unrealistic to think drone incursions won't cause disruption in the future. This is days after two Belgian airports were forced to shut down following drone sightings. Quote, "It's not a question of if, only of when," he said, according to the Financial Times, adding that both drones and cyber threats are now evolving faster than anyone can keep up. The warning revives memories of the 2018 Gatwick fiasco, when repeated drone sightings grounded more than 140,000 passengers and shut the airport for 3 days. I don't remember that. That incident led to tighter UK rules barring drones from flying higher than 400 feet or within a kilometer of an airport boundary. But this official Rob Bishton, now admits the defenses that came out of Gatwick are not potentially as effective as they need to be against what he described as a new wave of more organized operators using non-attributable, very low-cost drones. In other words, the bad guys got smarter, the toys got cheaper, and the skies still open for business. It's a smart world. And now, kind of finally, news of our friends, our freedom-loving friends in Saudi Arabia, the land of 4,000 princes. Like many other Kenyans employed in Saudi Arabia, these women faced abuse, exploitation, and neglect, but other women, when they are desperate, can go home. These particular women, Kenyan women, cannot, because they had children outside of marriage, and now they're trapped in the conservative Islamic kingdom, reports the New York Times, where an unmarried mother can be jailed for an illegal pregnancy. It's as if their children don't exist. Without identification documents, they are banished to the fringes of society, yet they cannot leave the country either. And speaking of Saudi Arabia, for decades, that country has fought harder than any other country to block and delay international climate action. Really? More than us? That's a diplomatic wrecking ball saying that abandoning fossil fuels is a fantasy. Its opposition has continued in the run-up to the UN COP30 climate summit right now in Brazil. The country is now also making a whirlwind switch to renewable power at home. It's according to The Guardian, and another contradiction, slowing climate action worsens the impacts on the desert kingdom that is extremely vulnerable to global heating, and where its 36 million people already contend with conditions, quote, at the verge of livability, unquote. The Saudis are not crazy, says an expert on climate and energy in the Middle East, but they don't want to be a failed state, he says. An early and pivotal victory for Saudi Arabia and its oil-rich OPEC allies was blocking the use of voting to take decisions in UN climate negotiations. That's common in other UN bodies. Instead, consensus is needed. Quote, this impasse has never been overcome. It gives outsized influence to laggards, which suits Saudi Arabia very well, says a report by the Climate Social Science Network. Armed with an effective veto, Saudi Arabia has held back climate negotiations ever since. Our freedom-loving friends in Saudi Arabia. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same remaining stations or on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. The email address for this program, a chance to get Karzai... No, there's no chance to get
nothing. But there's stuff to read and listen to and watch and enjoy all at harryshearer.com. I'm on Blue Sky at Harry Shearer. And now I'm writing text on Substack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. Yes, it's an actual radio network. So long from New Orleans, the Crescent City.